Welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast. We're glad you could join us today. The Northern Nerd is the Northwoods entertainment, media, and creative hub. Each show includes different guests that come from all walks of life with stories to share. Enjoy our latest episode. Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a great day so far. Before you start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. Hey, everybody, this is our first After Hours episode of 2022, and we're excited to share it with you. We sat down with our friend Josh. He is from Illinois, and he recently moved up to the Northwoods and has a lot to say on about what he likes about the area, but also what he misses about Chicago. And then we also got into some things that we're looking forward to in 2022 as far as live music goes, maybe going to some concerts in the near future, also looking at some stand-up specials that help us get us through these long winter months. And also kind of give you a winter survival guide on what you can do to survive these cold winter days, especially the ones that we've been experiencing lately. So without further ado, here's our latest episode of After Hours.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast After Hours. We're sitting around here at the table.
2022.
Yeah, 2022. First episode of 2022.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody.
Santa's alive. We're back.
He's resurrected.
He's resurrected again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works. Yes. And we have a special guest, Josh, with us. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's a first appearance here.
Mm-hmm.
First podcast, right?
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it? Good. Right?
Yeah, I think I'm feeling pretty good. You know, we're sitting around just having a beer, so.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Just got a microphone in my face instead of a beer.
Yeah. a bit of that's the, you got it.
Yep. Podcasting done right.
Yeah.
So how are you guys' New Year's resolutions going so far?
Oh, bad.
Did you make any?
Yeah, if you don't make them, then you can't break them.
Right.
That's kind of the way I feel. I didn't make any because I've gotten to that point in life where I'm like, I usually make it about two weeks and I'm done with them anyways. So.
I think I did a good 2 weeks. Yeah.
See,
yeah,
put in your time.
I can just coast the next 50 weeks.
Right. I would say like I don't make resolutions, but it's like when you bring your car to the shop for a checkup.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let's assess what's going wrong with the vehicle or your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I don't make like the brass, like I'm going to do this and this and that, but it is a reminder, like, let's try to do certain things better.
Mm-hmm.
I think the aggressive, like I'm going to change my entire life on when it turns midnight,
mm-hmm,
is, I don't know if that's successful, but like, you got to be aware of, I think resolutions are like, they're good,
mm-hmm,
but it's more just like, let's be aware of like what you're trying to accomplish, but you don't have to go like nuclear on it.
Right. Just having those intentions on what it is that you want to maybe be better
But just because it's a new year doesn't mean like you're magically fixed,
mm-hmm,
and that you can just like...
Yeah, it's not the Cinderella syndrome where it's just like,
you're like,
here we go,
right?
I'm
new year, new me.
On.
Yeah,
you're like,
yep.
You're like, yeah, I think I've gotten off to a good start in a bit. You know?
Yeah,
but yeah, I think I kind of agree. I'm not a new. I never have like written anything down.
Extreme,
you know. But like, I was kind of like, okay, I think I'm ready. I was ready to turn the page on 2021. I was ready for it to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone may have had a different experience, but I was ready for just, I was like, there's new numbers on the calendar and that maybe is going to be a fresh
look.
But
now it's 2022.
Ooh, deuces.
So you never know. It could be the repeat.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fully aware of that, but I'm proceeding that it's going to be good.
But we have all Tuesday, like coming up in February.
Groundhog's Day.
It's something to look forward to.
Yeah. And it's on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Yeah.
So
we got shirts as
I do everything team, double.
So it's kind of a big deal.
Nice.
So a little outsider perspective, like Josh just moved to the Northwoods. This is a Northwoods Northern Nerd production. And this guy, I feel like has hit, like he's just hit the ground running. Like he loves up here. I want to like see like what your ties to this area are like. Little, because you're probably not going to stay for the whole podcast. We're going to kick your ass out of here.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to work at some point tomorrow. Yeah,
We all do. I'm tired. I'm looking at the clock, too. But
like, I mean, if you twist back, my arm with another beer, I'd probably
just a little
longer.
Like, what are you digging up here? What's like, how's it been, the transition?
Honestly, the transition's been great. Everything's been great. Coming from Chicagoland to living up here. You know, we were built for the cold. We were used to the cold, but the thing we haven't been used to is the fact that we have been accepted, like, and the fact that people, like, not even so much accepted, but the fact that everyone's been so damn welcoming to where you'd be more than likely to get flipped off down in Chicagoland rather than, like, get a high five from somebody. So anywhere we've been nowadays, like, everyone was like, oh, welcome to the Northwoods. Welcome here. What brought you here?
Do you feel like you have to like rewire your brain because you're like, they're like, you don't trust people being that nice? You're like,
yeah. No.
Like, what are they trying to? And it's like, no, they're just,
it's
all a cult.
What's your motive here? It's like, all a cult. What are you going on? But yeah. No, it's great. Like, it's the neighborhood we live in, like, everybody around us has just been, hey, why'd you guys move here? Why'd you guys move here? But most of the people actually think, like, they're like, well, we were able to take a couple months off. Most people are like, are you rich? Do you work from home? Are you retired? I'm like, do I look like I'm old enough to be retired? Like, no. Like, we're taking a break. We're doing some fishing. Like, we're getting used to the lay of the land, and then we're going to go to work. And then we got to that point after about 2 months where we were sick of looking at each other, and I was like, okay, we got to go to work now.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time. Like,
vacation ended.
Well, we were in that in-between moment where the boat was winterized and put away. There wasn't enough ice on the lakes. There's no snow to take the snowmobile out. And it was like, okay, we're sitting around here. Now I got to go to work. So
you pulled off the rare feat of like, babe, let's move to the Northwoods. So I can fish all the time. But she must be on board.
She loves fishing. And whether or not it's like if we're on the boat and she wants to fish, or if she wants to sit on the back and just have a beer and sightsee and hang out, like, she's all about that. We both love kayaking. My mother-in-law, who is awesome and like one of the most generous people in the world, bought us both snowshoes for Christmas.
Nice.
We bought a snowmobile before we moved up here.
What do you miss the most from like moving to this? Is it the food? Like the
Italian
like,
beefs.
Italian beefs.
Yeah. Italian beefs. Cheesy beefs. Garlic bread. Oh. Smothered in juice. I mean, the tacos, like Main Street tacos, is pretty solid. So the Mexican food we haven't really missed out on.
Yeah.
But I would say pizza. And Italian beef,
because
there are a couple solid pizza spots. But
are you a deep dish? Like, I love deep dish. A lot of people think deep dish is actually a travesty of pizza. I think it's the best I've ever had.
Lou Malnati's, like, give me Lou Malnati's all day, baby. Like, I love some Lou Malnati's, but I'm also a thin crust. Like, I love some thin crust. Give me some sauce.
But Chicago has both. They do.
Chicago has the best of both worlds.
I think they have both.
That pizza game in Chicago, like, but screw New York. Like, Chicago's got the pizza game
Can we get
and then we got Italian beefs, we got pizza puffs, like.
You got Portillo's. You got a drive-in that has.
If I could somehow convince the wife to, like, open up a franchise Portillo's up here, I think it would just go nuts. Like, the guy at work I was talking to the other day, I was like, man, you know, Chicago-style beef joint, hot dog joint would really kill it up here. And he was like, yeah, you think so? She's like, there's enough people from Chicago. I'm like, have you ever had a cheesy beef? And he's like, what is a cheesy beef? And I was like,
Hop in the truck. Let's go.
Yeah. Like, we need to take a road trip right now, buddy. Like, because this is going to change your life forever. Like, garlic bread, beef, juice, cheese.
Ooh.
Heart attack waiting to happen, but it's so good. Yeah. So,
Baker's dozen.
But other than that, like, we found enough food. We cook enough food.
You're
like,
not starving.
Yeah, we ain't starving. Like, it's tough.
You live in the.
Living the dream, man. We're living in the woods. Like, we got, you can walk out our front door, don't see any neighbors, you don't hear anything. You look up into the sky and see nothing but stars because you got no light pollution. So,
so it's all just the peacefulness of that.
Yeah. The peacefulness is that's why we moved here. You know, I can hop on the snowmobile and be on the lakes in 2 minutes. I can hop when they're not frozen. I can hook up the boat and be in the truck and be on the lake in 5 minutes. So that right there is what we move for.
So that perspective is nice to hear because we all are basically, we've been here for a lot, either from here or been here a while.
Yeah.
And we all hate fucking winters up here, but you're up here living your best life.
Speak for yourself.
Not hate. And we have a,
I embrace the winter.
Embrace. But
all
about it. But it's nice to hear the flip side of like.
Well, the other morning, I will say when I woke up to go to work and it was negative 23, I had to kind of remind myself like you did want to move here.
And so. I don't think
like, you did want to do this. Like,
and I don't think the process.
We did this by choice. Yeah. So.
And I don't think like Illinois, maybe it was like negative. Like I don't think they're hitting them numbers that we hit up here.
No.
No, they get close. I actually woke up the other morning to a text from a buddy of mine at like 6:30, and it was -8. And he was like, "Hey, we're kind of close. Look at us." And then I pulled up the Weather Channel and screenshot it, and I was like, "Well, it's -21 with a real feel of -33 right now. So, what you got on that, buddy?
Yeah. We're not even playing the same game.
But I
checkmate.
I think really once you get to that negative point, like."
It doesn't matter.
What's a few degrees? Like, okay, is my nose going to fall off in like T-minus like
Although you start to notice that, like when it's been cold for an extended period, like for a few days, you can start to notice the difference between when it's like 10 below or maybe only a couple below.
And you're like,
ooh, it's not quite so bad. Well, like today it was like 15.
It's all the wind.
And I felt like it was like, I don't even need a jacket.
Man, if you got tucked out of the wind today, there were times we were out in the yard at work. And we got out of the wind and the sun was shining. And I was like, whew, this is t-shirt weather.
Right, exactly.
Like, let's get acclimated that quickly.
Because it's like 40 degrees warmer than what it was the day before.
And I mean, being in Chicago, like we still had those cold, cold days. But it's another animal up here. It's another beast.
Yeah.
But hey, that's all part of it. That's all part of the acclimation. Like the house is warm.
Right.
Well, house is warm like that. That's all that matters. Like I've got that. I've got the thermometer sitting next to the TV, so I know how warm my well house is at all times.
Yep.
And my dad, it's funny. He texts me every now and then because he knows that was one of the big things that I did up here. I was like, I'm gonna reinsulate the well house, make sure this is good, make sure that's that. So he'll text me randomly like, "What's your well house at? What's your well house temp at?" So.
That's how you know you live in a northern climate.
You're
even aware of that thing existing.
Exactly. Having like a thermal cube plug and a space heater and insulated well house.
Right. Dude, it's so funny. We're all generally around the same age. I mean, this guy, Josh is a little old probably.
I'm a seasoned vet here.
Yeah.
But 39.
The idea of your parents texting you. It's kind of funny because, like, my mom finally figured it out after years. But she'll space everything wrong. It looks like a child wrote it. And then she'll sign it mom or, like she has to, like, it's like a letter.
She'll write me a letter. Like, hey.
Yeah, she'll sign it mom. I was like, I have your
number. I have your number. I know who this is.
Right.
She's like,
your contact comes up with mom. Like,
yeah.
That's who texted me. Mom's like,
Dear James.
Yeah.
With a date on it.
She's like, Dear James, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to you in 8 hours, and I just want you to know.
But if you have time, I will meet you for coffee at the... Love, dearest mother. You're like, I'm like, well, at least you're texting me now, because like,
and then you just respond back, K.
I was like,
and then that's what I was for a loop. Like, what does this mean?
Right.
What is that?
I did like coach my mom on that for a while, because she would respond back with like K, or just if. I don't know, if you just have really short replies, it seems like you're pissed off in text. Like,
but
great.
They literally don't that's how they're like literally like, okay. And you're like, salty much?
Yeah, I was like, are we good?
You didn't need to put two letters there. You could have just put K.
Yeah. No, I'm still getting a Christmas present this year. What's going on?
Dude, old people texting is hilarious. They don't know a long time punctuation. They don't know fucking like structure of sentences. But yeah.
He would always think I would shoot him a text about something and say, hey, you know, this and that. And he had just thought that was like instant signal to call you.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah,
my dad, he's a talker. He loves to talk. I mean, I love the guy to death, but he's a tough one to get off the phone, because he'd be like, all right, I just pulled in the driveway, I gotta let the dogs out and do this and that. And he'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to repeat the same story that I just told you five times. And I'm
what's the craziest lie you've told your parents on the phone to get them off the phone? Because my mom's the same way. And I'd be like, holy shit.
It's usually,
the house is on fire.
Yeah. Well, we got it out quickly. It's okay.
Yeah. I usually don't have to go too crazy. Like, usually for me, it'll just be like, well, we got dinner on the table when we're still sitting there having beers.
Dinner on the table is always sad. Like, yeah. I always say, like,
well, we got dinner on the table as we're still sitting there having beers. And I'm like, well, sorry, old man. We've been on the phone for half an hour. Love you. I love you, Dad, if you somehow find your way to this podcast. But
right. My mom would be like,
sometime, yeah.
Can you believe?
Sometimes they got to get your ass off the phone. It's right.
Can you believe the fucking Packers game? Like, dude, like, we actually, I'm like, yep. And then it's like, but. And I'm like, oh, the mailman's here, and
he's got
the house is on
me.
Fire also. Like, yeah, like just a crazy shit.
See, if I really wanted to get my dad off the phone, all I would have to do is be like, holy shit, Dad. My well house is at 31 degrees. I've got to go figure out what's going on.
And he'd be like, yeah,
you, you better go get that done. You better go check that space heater
like,
right now.
But he's like, call me back. Let me know. Hug.
That's exactly what it means.
What have I done?
What are you figuring out?
That only buys you a window of time before there's follow-up required.
Yeah. It buys you, like, for him, he would be calling me back in, like, with a half an hour. Hey, did you get it figured out? Right. Did you fix that? Did you get it done? Like, and just... That's our relationship. Me and the old man, like, we built stuff together since I could.
It's good.
He threw me on a roof when I was about 13 years old, and we started building stuff from that on. So he's not much of an outdoorsman, but the guy can build anything you want. So
yeah, it's important.
Difference.
Yeah. So speaking of like wintertime activities and things like that, what do you guys do to make it through like this time of winter? Like, the holidays are over and you're just kind of embracing the suck.
It's the shining season right now.
Survival guide.
Like, this is like where you can relate to like being trapped in the, you know, in the shining motel, like hotel over the winter, where it gets so cold where just no one's leaving their house for like days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like, and you're just like, oh, it's dark at 4:30. And
yeah, this is where like the week, like, you know who's who. Like,
right.
If you can show up with a positive attitude, you're like, that guy's at least either he's a sociopath and faking it, or he's doing all right.
Or he's on Zoloft.
Well, for me, being a transplant from Chicago, watching the Packers lose last Saturday kind of brightened the whole rest of my winter.
Yeah.
Because I honestly was starting to have worries at if the Packers would have won the Super Bowl.
You would have to live through...
How I would have lived through my first year in the Northwoods with nothing
that'd
but
be,
a bunch of...
Yeah, that'd be taking a knocking there.
Yeah, it would have been tough. It would have been tough. So I enjoyed that loss
much so. How much joy are you going to get out of that Packers loss? You got 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month?
How can you stretch that joy? Yeah. What he's saying.
Yeah.
I'll see how it goes at work, because they're all a bunch of Packer backers there.
They're going to work. And,
I instantly texted one of the guys at work.
If the Niners win the Super Bowl, you got...
Then I can carry
it
on. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you need the Niners to...
Because I texted a guy at work right after that Robbie Gould kick Chicago Bears alum.
Yeah, we remember. We remember him.
Yeah. Right when he put that kick through, I shot a guy a text at work, just a picture of Rice-A-Roni with the San Francisco treat. And it made me feel pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I'm a Bears fan, so we don't have much to
hang our hats on. Did Robbie Gould also do the double doink?
No, that was Cody Parkey.
Yeah.
And I was actually in section 343.
You were at the double doink.
At that game when I felt all of Chicago just be completely deflated.
And then the Eagles actually somehow won the goddamn Super Bowl that year. Right? Yeah.
No, I don't think
that was... that's when they beat Brady. They barely beat the Bears and then Nick Foles.
Was that the year?
Yeah. 19. I think that was the year.
They all blended.
It was 2018.
I think it was 19.
Oh, no.
We'll get the fact checkers on this one.
We'll do the research.
Mitch was drafted in 2017.
2019.
And his 2018 year was supposed to be the big year. And
we got a professional fact checker, Matt Nagy, hoping that
in the basement.
Back to what we post, like, my winter survival guide is planning the next vacation.
Ooh, yes.
That is a fun, like, dabbling and like the research and be like, ooh, Hawaii?
It's warm.
Maui?
We just did that this week.
And then it's like, oh, flights there. Like, I think you're like, I can take a week off if you work year round, slow season if you're whatever, and if you're in the service industry or some version, and like March, you're like, March is nothing's happening. It is nice that in this area that you can take a full week off of work and nothing's going to really, it's not going to affect you're not going to come back and be like, what happened? Mm. So I think survival guide, it's like, just keep planning that spring trip or that fall trip. It depends on the season, like after the summer, but I would say just keep rocking do all the research and just plan that trip out. Because you need to escape.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people either will embrace like the Berkey culture and just like be downtown all week kind of thing. Otherwise, they'll get the heck out of town.
Yeah.
And that's when a lot of local people will take their vacations
Berkey week. I think a lot of local people that don't have any like retired or whatever, like, or don't have, I could never take Berkey week off.
Right.
Like a lot of us, it's a huge money Berkey's, week.
Yeah, big week.
Big money week if you're doing any...
Plus, they got to do the whole skiing thing.
You got to ski the race.
You got to ski too, my friend.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm still the tourist when it comes to some of that stuff. We're like, ooh, it's our first Berkey week. Like, let's go check it out.
You're going to love it. You got to embrace the tourist thing. So I've lived here now 8 years, but like I came here as a tourist, and I think it's an important thing to embrace the tourist mentality while living here. Because if you don't, it's easy to get really salty about all this stuff. Like, I talk to so many people, I hate the Berkey, blah, blah, blah. And I just think that's such crap.
Why did you move here? Why do you live here then?
Well, I mean, you know, if you grew up here, you didn't have much choice. But like, and you know, I can understand being a cross-country skier. I would like to think that I'm on the good spectrum. Of course, most people like to, the not super neurotic and everything particular about that. But there are a lot of neurotic and like sort of particular Nordic skiers, which if you're listening to this and you're one of those people, be conscious of how you interact with people when you come to visit our small town and not be so picky and persnickety about stuff. But, you know, like,
did you say picky persnickety?
Both of it.
Yeah.
Both of them. All of it. Don't
picky
be
or persnickety?
Persnickety.
Damn. What are you, a sorcerer? Is this like a Harry Potter?
Yeah, it is.
That's like a spell
persnick
cast on somebody?
Or people just have like specific requests, you know, like I got to have my, you know, drink this
can
way.
I get,
like,
can I get a definition on persnickety?
No. That's what it is. It'd be like the person who's got to have like, I want my tea, but I want it at 165 degrees, not
so
like 180 degrees.
They are persnickety.
They have like specific things that they have to have things be that way.
Are most of those people from Illinois?
No, it's mostly,
no. That's all over. They're all over.
It's
across the board.
Berkey's now, it's just foreign or Minneapolis.
Yeah, generally upper Midwest, but obviously Minneapolis is pretty highly represented.
They're taking
Milwaukee,
over.
Madison, Chicago.
I've tended to notice even like when we've
but there's
even before we moved
vibe.
Here, when we've been on vacation to tropical places, whether it was Aruba, Mexico, wherever, we would run into fellow people from Illinois, and they always seem to be kind of the rudest, pickiest, just kind of the biggest assholes of the group. And we always strive to like make sure like, hey, no, that's not us. We're not those typical Chicago-related people. Like, that's not us. Please don't group us into that.
Mm-hmm. They just hear your stupid fucking accent, and they're like, you guys, nope. And you're like, no, I'm not one of them.
But give me a bowl of sausage, okay?
Yeah,
let me get a sausage here.
You got a hot beef and a cold beer, sweetheart. We're going to have a good time. You're like,
and then they'd be like, all right, hey, this guy's all right. This guy's all right. So...
I wanted to take a second to call out the word, I'm going to say word of the podcast, or a word to add to the podcast other than persnickety.
Persnickety.
It's Schadenfreude. It's a good German word. And what it sums up is exactly what Josh got this weekend, which is taking joy in the misery of others. And I think a lot of the country got Schadenfreude this weekend because they got to take joy and happiness in the suffering of other people.
Because if you weren't taking joy in the suffering of Aaron Rodgers, you were doing it in the suffering of Tom Brady.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot.
And you know what? I took Schadenfreude in both of those.
Yeah.
Although, I mean,
you double dipped.
Yeah, I double dipped on that one. Like a weekend where the Packers lost and Tom Brady got knocked out of the playoffs. I was like, oh my God. Like,
does it get much better than this?
Well, yeah. I mean, if the Bears were somehow in competition at the point, maybe it could have gotten better.
It's the next best thing.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
About the Bears.
I mean, let's be realistic at least.
We'll take one step at a time. Like, maybe we'll get Rodgers knocked out to Denver and we'll get him out of the NFC.
There you go.
Maybe, just maybe, the Bears might be competitive because, you know, but one of the owners of the team sells it. Yeah. It'll be hard to see him go.
I heard they're kind of cheap there, that family.
Well, I mean, ask Rodgers. He's part owner of the Bears, so. I can't.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to lie. The guy has owned us forever, so.
That's like how. Yeah.
So does that, by association, are you also owned by San Francisco?
Ooh.
Because the 49ers own Aaron Rodgers, and then Rodgers owns the Bears. So by
they might be like a split timeshare type deal or something. Like they might have like partial ownership like certain weeks of the year, I guess.
Yeah.
They have to go on a cruise and sit through the informational spiel for 4 hours.
Yeah, they got bought in and they were like, oh shit, now we owe this much money a year. Maybe we'll get to enjoy it.
Right.
So
gosh.
Yeah, I would say I agree with James's winter survival guy plan trip. We just did that. We're going to go to Asheville, North Carolina in April.
I think we're going to
go check out Wigan Beat Brewing.
Charleston.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think we're going to Charleston, so we might have to just link up.
Are you guys going in March?
We're going to go first week of April, so I mean
close.
We're March. I think we're going to what's Charleston, South Carolina?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just nod my head when Bree's like, "Do you want to?" I'm like, "Yo."
Yeah. It's like, "Do you want to go?" Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Anywhere. Yes.
Yeah.
She
Nikki,
books
is
every,
not here.
Yeah. She books everything, and
even
I'm just
like Rice Lake would be an exotic
so
trip this time of year.
I just go with the flow. But once we're there, I'm like, I find the breweries and the restaurants.
Nikki's reminding me quite often now that we haven't been to the beach in like 2 years. And granted, like the last 2 years have been kind of a crapshoot of everything going on.
Oh, yep.
But since we moved up here, like I even told her too. I said, you know, we got two dogs. Like one of them's kind of special needs. Like we. And being special needs, she's just an asshole. Like she's a great dog. We love her, but she's kind of an asshole when it comes. Like she has her certain things. We need to find a dog sitter. But I told her, I said, "Hey, we moved to the Northwoods, so all of our vacations from here on out can be to the beach."
Yeah, that's the point.
And the last time we did a beach vacation, we kind of did it all out. It was her 40th birthday, and we went to Spanish Wells, Bahamas, which is island. It literally, like, the island itself was the size of an 18-hole golf course. We had a little cottage on a pretty much private cove, which had a bar right around the corner on the beach, and we got a golf cart with our cottage where you could drive around anywhere you wanted to go on the island. You could get to on the golf cart, and the real perk of it was there was no drinking and driving laws on the island. So anytime you hopped on said golf cart, you could be driving down the street with...
Well, how much trouble can you get in a golf cart? even peak blackout. Well, I can get a golf cart somewhere.
Just go on YouTube. You can find out.
I'm not gonna, yeah. I just put any videos out there to contradict your statement there. But
Oh, you proved it?
No. We actually did not.
You
but
survived.
The nice thing was... You could, every beach on that island, whether or not you had access to it or not, or if you had property that lined up to the beach, you could not block public access.
Yeah.
So you could drive your golf cart to anywhere on that beach and just be like, yeah, I'm on your beach. What are you going to do about it? And it was great. It was the most relaxing vacation we've ever been on.
So every time I've ever been on a nice vacation, you come across people say you're at the whole thing, the airport, the travel, the hotel. You see people that are not having a good time. I'm like, how are you mad at vacation? How are you mad when you're on vacation?
Yeah, and that's
typically it's because they had a long day and their kids. It's typically don't vacation with your kids.
Well, just don't have kids.
And then I'm like, don't have kids. So we always are having the best time on vacation, and we look at people that are miserable and we're like, why are they miserable? They spent all this money. They took off time at work. It's like, but
there's a couple of 6-year-olds running around tagging at their tails.
But can pets ruin vacation? Can you just be like, are you just thinking about see, we don't have pets. So I'm like, are you just thinking about the,
Because there's been times where, we had a great pet sitter. He was one of my best friends, and rest his soul forever, because this guy was the best, and he was gone too soon. And we knew every time our dogs were in his hands, and he was there, there was no worries. But then after that, we bounced around. We tried. I'm not going to name names, but in case they end up listening to this somehow. But we had a couple of dog sitters that we were like, we came to find out that they didn't really quite stick around or hang out. They might have been out and about, and we would always pay them well. We'd stock a fridge full of them. They'd be like, hey, anything? What do you want to eat? What is this? We'll stock it in the fridge. And we came to find out these people were supposed to be friends, relatives, whatever. And they weren't quite as trustworthy as what you could find out. So my wife would stress out a little bit more, I think, more than I would. I was always like, whatever, their dogs are at home. They're fine. They're not in a kennel. So
yeah, they're not.
But sometimes you find out, maybe they're better off being in a kennel.
I think, we purposely don't have pets because we want to be able to leave for a week and not stress it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
Can you imagine me if you're vacation and you're the dog, you're someone's going to check in maybe once a day?
My sister watched my dogs one time, and my dogs are both older. They were, one was 7, one was 8.
Dogs.
They were 8, maybe 9. And all of a sudden she texted me one time and she's like, well, she texted me a picture of one of the dogs. She's like, hopefully she won't listen to this, but she's like, Opie peed in the house. And I'm like, what? Girl, my dogs don't pee in the house. What are you talking about? These are good dogs. They do not pee in the house. I'm like, how long did you leave for? And then we turned around, after the fact, we come to find out some other information. And we're
investigating.
Well, you were out drinking for a while, and you just didn't come home for 14 hours.
You checked in on at this bar and that bar and that
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We figured it out where I was like, there's a reason why they paid in the house. And you know what? I paid you $600 for the damn week, so. But it is what it is. It is a pain having dogs, having animals, and trying to work things around that if they're not kennel-friendly dogs. One of our dogs is a rescue, and she spent quite a bit of time in a shelter. So we really think that if we were to send her back into a kennel, she would probably have some sort of relapse and not be the same dog. We did a lot of work to get her to where she is nowadays, and she's the best dog. I love that dog to death.
Yeah, our dogs, are not. They're never gonna go.
Yeah, we couldn't do that to them. So like we need to find ourselves another dog sitter and figure it out from there.
Right.
But find somebody you can trust and maybe either come stay in your home or take your dogs to their home is another story.
Right.
So
it's just funny, like the whole like it does like. Some people build their schedule on, like, if they're trying to vacation, like, we need someone that's going to spend time with these dogs. Like, they have to, like, book, either pay friends or find, like, a relative that can actually go to the house. Like, they shouldn't be in another house. Like, it is tough if you're trying to leave.
Yeah, totally. It's totally, but life without dogs for us, like, life without dogs and life without animals...
It's
no way. It's boring. Boring, man. Like, you come home every day, no matter what, like, whether or not, like, if your significant other or your spouse or somebody is pissed off at you, it doesn't matter. You come home, you walk in, and them dogs are happy as hell to see you. Them tails are wagging. They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, we going outside to poop? Yeah, we going outside to poop? Like, oh, and then you're going to give me a cookie? Like, you know.
That's the name of the episode. We going outside to poop?
Yeah. If you could have, like, all that right. pure... If you could have a dog's life as a human, how great would life be? Because all you got to worry about, you got somebody feeding you. You got somebody letting you outside to go poop. Maybe they're putting a sweater on you because you're cold.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like.
Take a few pics around Christmas time and you're good to go.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, the life of a dog, as long as the hands of a good owner, like.
Honest work.
You can't beat that.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. So.
Lots of lounging.
Yeah, I mean, you get to curl up in a bed, like, and sometimes, man, these damn dogs, like, you go up in the bed, and sometimes we got to lock them out of the bedroom because they end up taking up more of the bed than we do. You wake up in the morning, and you're like, you're on, like, 12 inches of the bed on the side, and it's like, you look over, and the dogs are just sprawled out, like, yeah, this is the best. Like, no, I got to go to work tomorrow to pay for your food, right. And you're sleeping here, like, sprawled out of my bed, so... But I wouldn't have it any other way, man. There's no way I would have life without dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're a pain in the ass when you got to go on vacation, like we figure it out some way or the other. So,
mm-hmm.
Dalton, what's a part of your winter survival tactics?
I'd say like having people over for meals is a big thing. Like either, and now having more room. With the house and everything like that, it'll make it a lot easier. The apartment is pretty.
You
pretty
also
tough.
Embrace the dark arts of skiing.
I have embraced the dark art of skiing. Yes.
Yeah.
That's been really fun.
It's a huge. I mean, that for me, like one of the, I would say that's in my list, like planning vacations,
why you can
skiing, enjoying the winter somehow, mm-hmm. whether you do something like so for me, when the snow is coming down, I'm like yes. I'm stoked every time there's snow in the forecast, I'm excited about it, which is the opposite of a lot of people who are just like, oh no. Like, and you know, and people, you know, I know that for people like that plow and stuff, my father-in-law has plow route. And I know that's like it's a good and bad thing. Cause like it's like, well, you got plow. That means you get money coming in cause you're plowing it. But then it means you're gonna be up all night. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Plowing for so
you'll be working for 15, 16 hours.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Depends on the storm and everything.
Yeah.
But if like for yeah, so that makes that exciting because it turns winter on its head a little bit. Then instead of like being like, ah, this sucks, it's cold out. You're just like, oh, sweet. The conditions are good. And it's like similar for snowmobiling, too, I think. And ice fishing. It's like these are when these conditions exist, you can go do these things.
Yeah. And I mean, really, if you're living up here and you have no sort of winter hobbies, then what the hell are you doing here?
It's me, man.
Right.
That's me. What are you doing here, James?
Surviving. Yeah.
What are you doing?
I just like the people.
Oh.
Yeah.
The social interaction. I thrive in the summer.
Too?
Thrive in the summer. I just like the people. But yeah, I don't take advantage of it.
Well, shit. Let's go ice fishing.
But drinking.
I'm going
take
on
me
Saturday.
Out. Take
drinking.
Me out.
Drinking is the other key.
I got a two-up snowmobile, man. I'll ride a sausage on the back of it. Like, it's all good.
No, I'm going to grip.
The sidecar?
I'm going to.
Yeah. I got a grand touring snowmobile.
I'm going to hug you from behind, like, you've never been hugged.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm all about it. I got a couple extra tip ups too.
You got a two up?
I do have a two up.
Yeah,
it's got heated grips on the back too, so your little hands won't get warm.
You got to document
this. I think I might get out on La Coudere, this weekend, this Saturday.
I just need the right man in my life to take.
There you go. Maybe we found the connection here.
Yeah. There we go.
We both like hip hop.
I'll come join you.
Don't ruin it. This
no,
is,
I'm horning
this is our moment.
You already like winter, asshole. Right.
This is my time to shine.
Why are you trying to take the only thing I have? You skier, bitch. I don't have that.
I'm trying to find my own hobby.
Right. But in all seriousness, seriousness.
Yeah. I love winter, man. Yeah. I've always snowboarded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meh.
Well, I snowboarded. I'm actually going to head down in a couple weeks and head down south a little bit, meet a couple buddies at Devil's Head, and we're going to stay the weekend and go.
Hit that pow?
Yeah. Well, not really powder
that
down
there. Fresh
in,
pow?
Not really in central
that
Wisconsin.
That man-made ice.
It might be some more like fresh packed ice.
Yeah. When you go down, when you go down, it's a full yard sale where all your hats and gloves come off and you're knocked unconscious, dragging hosting down
ice
the ice
bomb.
I've gotten my experience on that. Like, I don't care how steep the hill is or how big it is. Like, on that nice freshly packed ice, I rock my helmet.
Oh yeah.
Because I've seen too many dome ringers to where, like, all of a sudden, like, ooh.
I used to snowboard.
I got
to
see some stars.
And I won't get started doing it again because the learning curve for snowboarding is just pain.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. If I wouldn't have learned to do it when I was like 15, 16, 17.
Don't start snowboarding in middle age, folks.
I give my wife credit because she learned how to do it when she was about 32, 33 years old.
She have health insurance?
Yes, she absolutely had health insurance.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
She absolutely had health insurance.
Every time someone's like, you want, I was like, well, my health insurance is not like proper right
that
now.
Doesn't cover that.
Yeah.
It doesn't cover that. Yeah.
Just say you're making a beer run.
Right.
But if you have if you're 30 and have good health insurance, give it a shot.
Yeah, go have at it.
It's a long winter.
Yeah. Are you interested in having surgery? Give it a shot.
See what that insurance does for you.
Right. Test it out. Take it for a spin.
Unless you get friends like mine to where, like, when they taught me how to snowboard, you know, I started doing like 16, 17, whatever. These guys have been doing a couple years longer than me. And so I remember the first time we went out and they took me out to a hill and they're like, all right, cool. I'm like, you guys going to show me what's up, how we do this? And they're like, yeah, hop on this lift. And then we go to the top of the steepest hill and they're like, all right,
get to the bottom. Yeah.
And I'm like, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Like, appreciate I'll see you down there. Like, as I like tumble down, like, but it took a few times. I mean, I had a background in skateboarding and things like that growing up. So.
Yeah.
Didn't take too long. And now it's something where, like, I better at least get one or two runs in a year because it's one of those things that I love. And it is what it is. I have a 600-hour snowboard at home, so I better use it at least once a year.
Yeah, just to justify that in your own mind.
Yeah, like buying that thing and having it.
Quit bragging, bro.
Well, I'm just saying, I've had
it. Quit bragging. You fucking taking over.
It's a canoe, man. It's pretty slick.
You're killing it.
It could use a nice wax job, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we could all use a nice wax job.
James getting flirty.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Versus snowmobile.
Maybe I won't ride you sausage on my snowmobile.
Oh, boy. So as far as, I don't even know how to, all right. So as far as our
So in case you're not familiar with this, Josh, we generally try to have some kind of structure to this thing so that I mean, this is the nature of the way that it goes, is Dalton's kind of the person to keep things on track, and then it's our goal to just take tangent and wind up like 2 miles off topic for like an hour and then kind of make our way back.
So I think we've kind of been doing okay then, right?
You've been doing great.
All right.
We're kind of following a track.
Because, like, you're a chatty dude and Dalton doesn't know. He's like, he hasn't cut you off yet. At some point, Dalton's going to be like, enough.
He just covers your mouth with his hand.
I'm even say that to my students. I just let him go. Yeah, like, you got a story? All right.
Sorry.
Also, I asked you to be on the podcast an hour ago. You're like, I got to leave. I was like,
well, I also said, I was like, if you coach me with another beer, I might end up sitting here. And then Ian put another beer in front of me.
He spoke it into existence. It happened.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And as for being a chatty Cathy, like, I am my father's son, man. Like, I'm
you're like, well, I gotta go check the well house real quick.
You're like,
I could never.
Shit, Dale just texted me like,
you're like, I've never been on a bus. I could never. So we're here with Josh Live.
you like hear my life story?
Yes.
I'm probably never getting invited back.
No one gets invited back.
This is gold.
This is great.
So as far as like things that you guys look forward to in the winter, as like you plan for different trips you might take and things like that, are there any concerts that you're looking forward to going to this year, or anything you got like your eyes set on that you might purchase tickets for?
I will jump in right away. Am I still plugged in? I feel like you just muted me.
No, we muted you like 45 minutes ago.
You don't care about me. No.
I've not even come close to the board.
And I know, Dalton, you're very familiar with the When You Were Young festival thing.
Is that actually happening?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, is that actually a real thing?
It was all the emo bands of the...
Oh, yeah. I definitely looked at it.
Yeah,
right, that lineup was outrageous.
But I was looking at like the logistics of it to see if it was even possible.
So... I didn't care, but Brie, the lady friend,
yes,
my roommate wanted. She doesn't listen, so I can say, be like, I can say whatever I want. The love of my life, my roommate. She wanted to go, and she was in. She saw the lineup. She was in, and then she did the research. She's like, wait, this seems sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the same people that did like Astroworld.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, wait, they're only going to do 20. Because there's only like 6 artists on the lineup that she wanted to see.
Yep.
And she like backed out. We were like pre-order, like ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to see Thursday, My Chemical Romance.
Paramore?
Every band from that era was on that lineup.
It was
like AFI, Taking Back Sunday, Jimmy Eat World.
It was every band from if you're that age.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was like,
you guys do know
like
at one point that AFI actually used to be a real punk band, right?
Yeah.
Like they weren't even emo. Like they were actually like really.
Yeah. Punk, Thursday was a real punk band. They just got popularized by, I don't know, AFI though. Yeah. But. We were going to go see that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go see Turnstile that I've been hyping forever, that I love. They're playing at the Varsity Theater in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
In May.
I haven't seen the show at the Varsity in a long time.
In May.
Good venue.
So that's my gig. I've been trying to see the festival lineup. I think everything's going to be full go this summer. It's just going to be vaccination card. I think we'll be good to go. But I'm ready to get back to like fucking music. Like,
I hear you. I haven't seen a show in like 2 years. So
yeah,
same.
What was the last show you went to?
The last
COVID.
I swear to God, the last like real show I've been to was like the
ACL.
Yeah, that was
like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I've seen concerts after that.
Well, yeah, that was a big concert. Like, I mean, was a big festival show.
I think I've seen like some random stuff after that.
Nothing of note.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we've been doing trial runs here, like with the Park Theater in Hayward, which has been,
I don't count those.
Yeah, but
it's
live performance still.
It's live music.
It's not,
these
aren't like big.
It's music, like it's something.
Yeah. No, it's awesome,
and it's nice to like. Like I said, it's like a dabbling in of like you're getting some live music performance, and it's cool here in the hometown. And we're trying to bump that up. I'm trying to promote that, but.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've seen something after that. I just can't think of it date wise, but
yeah,
right.
The last one I was at was John Mayer 2 years ago.
Mm.
It was like two.
Was it in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was at the XL Energy Center.
Was it John Mayer doing John Mayer, or was it Dead and Company?
No, it was John Mayer doing John Mayer. And he didn't have like any opening act. He played for like 4 hours.
Holy.
And it was pretty awesome.
That's a long concert.
Yeah. Well, he took like maybe 15-minute intermission, about 2 hours.
Did he stand-up comedy too, or?
He did not.
He actually can, though.
Yeah, I've watched like his Instagram live.
He's funny.
Those kind of things, but yeah. Yeah, it was a really good show.
What's
last show I went to was Hot Snakes and Piss Jeans at the Empty Bottle. Used to do a frozen music hot dancing every year in Chicago.
What language are you speaking?
Yeah, I was gonna say, Josh is just coming out, being like,
what beer
did you
fans.
Give him?
Yeah, Josh is watching. I mean, if anybody else is hot, cooler
hot
than
Snakes
you.
Is a great band. Piss Jeans is a hit or miss. Like, they have some
I know
good
piss,
songs.
I've heard of. Piss Jeans.
Yeah, they
I owned a pair of those at one point.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure we all did at one point.
In my early 20s.
Yeah.
But every year, the Empty Bottle in Chicago would do frozen music, hot dancing. It was a big outdoor festival. Well, not really big outdoor festival, but they shut down like 3 blocks of the street. And no matter rain, shine, snow, wind, whatever, they had an outdoor concert in February. And it was right before COVID happened. And they had Hot Snakes play, who was one of my favorite bands.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-members of Rocket from the Crypt, ex-members of Drive Like Jehoo, post-punk. They're great if you're into that type of thing. But that was the last show I saw.
Do you have tickets for anything coming up?
Well, I just missed, like, 2 days ago, Jeff Rosenstock was playing, supposed to play in Minneapolis at First Avenue, and that was postponed due to COVID surges again.
Yeah.
We just bought tickets for Jawbreaker. It's 25th anniversary of the Dear You album release, which if you guys haven't listened to Jawbreaker is probably a top five favorite band of mine of all time.
I love this Rex.
They're awesome. They're playing with Built to Spill and a Chicago favorite, Smoking Popes.
Nice.
They started out with the advertised tour. They did 2 New York dates, 2 Chicago dates, 2 Denver dates, and 2 Portland dates. And then it went to, they sold out in presale. Ended up being 4 dates in each of said cities. And then they added like 8 more cities.
But Built to Spill has to be, they're not headlining it?
No, Jawbreaker's headlining.
Built to Spill's huge, though.
Built to Spill's really good. Really good. But Jawbreaker, like, Jawbreaker is.
That's crazy.
Jawbreaker is
Built to Spill is my shit.
Jawbreaker is one of those bands where if they really had the real opportunity, and if they would have continued making albums after Dear You in 1995, they probably would have dominated some of the mainstream, because they kind of got in the whole punk scene. They kind of, Dear You came out on a bigger label, and they kind of got dragged down, like, "Hey, you're sellouts, this and that, you're not punk, this and that." And so they took a big hiatus after that. And then just within the last couple of years, they've started playing some more reunion shows. They played Riot Fest. They played a couple of shows in Chicago and a couple other cities, just a one-off. And then a buddy of mine texted me from Chicago just not too long ago. He was like, "Hey, Jawbreaker, Built to Spill, Smoking Popes, come on down. Like, here's the presale. Come do it." And I was like, "Well, I missed out on them every other time, so I've got to. Otherwise,
yeah."
And then I saw how many other dates they opened up. I was kind of like, "Could have just went to Minneapolis and seen like Dillinger Four."
Yeah,
so.
I'm fiending for life. I think this is. Can this be the summer? Can we? We're 2 years in. Yeah.
I think it can be.
I think we're ready.
I hope so. I hope
so. We're ready. I think
places are going to have to move. I mean, like,
we're
going to
do something.
You can't lock down this industry for that long without causing like damage. Yeah. That's almost. I mean, not to get like into this, but like almost worse than the potential negatives of bringing people together and causing some rises. I mean, at a certain point. You know, you can only mandate like sort of the vaccine stuff to a certain point. You got to allow people, like, if you're going to willing to play by the rules, then we can have these things again, you know, kind of like, I think. And so mine I've got on the books is, it's a ways out, so I'm going to have to get something between now and then. But Andrew Bird and Iron and Wine are playing in August at Surly. So that one's going to be a good show.
RIP Surly.
Right. I know. Yeah, I don't know.
Are they open again?
Yeah,
they're getting there.
That enters into a murky world of that. We'll save that for another podcast, but the ethics of craft beer, we'll discuss that another time.
Okay. That'll be our next
Well, it'll just be at some point.
The ethics of crafty, I don't want to get into it. Baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah,
right, field. That's your upcoming show.
That's one field. I'm excited mm-hmm. for.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I've seen Iron and Wine one other time at First Avenue.
Yeah, First Ave's my favorite club I've ever been to.
It's a great spot. For the Upper Midwest, it's one of the
two
best.
2 days ago for the first time. And it got postponed.
Well, so. We should get. We'll all go together. We'll road trip down to First Ave.
Yeah, and we'll all road trip down. Like it's awesome. I would love to take you guys down to FOBAB and let you guys experience FOBAB in Chicago.
That's way too far a drive, sir. We're not gonna go.
I'll drive. I got a 4-seater truck.
I can drink in the back.
I got a van. Yeah. I got a van.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Van. Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
We could do a podcast on the live.
Podcast on the way to FOBAB.
While driving.
And then a podcast after FOBAB. When
during.
Like,
yeah, right.
During FOBAB. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Before, during, and after, so you can chronicle.
Chronicle like the drunkenness that what FOBAB creates, because it is something spectacular. It is. It really is.
I'd say on my list, Foo Fighters are playing August 3rd at US Bank Stadium.
Is that still happening?
As far as this morning when I
Because I know they had booked something and then canceled it. And is this a rebooking?
It might be.
They're on the bucket list. I want to see
Grohl. I'd love to see Foo Fighters.
I want to see Grohl.
I want to see him. Yeah, they're great artists, man. Dave Grohl is like, he's a guy that just appreciates music.
Mm. He's the,
Plus, I mean, like, to be able to still, like, scream and, like, tear it up like he does is just
after how many
years? There's only so many years he's going to be able to do that, you know, because even these, you know, like all the singers that are still performing now, like Mick Jagger still
from the
80s
and stuff like that.
Years.
Well, I think he can't
hit the notes that he used to be able to. The human voice has limits. At a certain point, you can't.
A few years ago, my wife loves Ozzy, and they were doing a tour of Black Sabbath through the United Center, and so I was like, I gotta take her. And I had seen him when I was way, way younger. I was like 17, 18 when I got to go see him with some few guys I worked with, and she gets to see him past his prime. I mean, Tony Iommi and all the rest of the guys like from Black Sabbath, like those guys can still wail on their instruments. But you watch this old man like shuffle around and attempt to sing like he could, and I was like, well.
Yeah.
It was cool for...
There's nostalgia for
that. Yeah, like, the nostalgia factor was so there. Cool. But
the performance
other than
factor
that, it was like, for actual aesthetics of it and all, like it was like,
I saw the Who 10 years ago. I got free tickets. I wouldn't have chose to go see the Who. I got free tickets. That's 10 years ago. I think they're still going. And it was like... Oh,
the longevity of these bands is outrageous.
I was like, come get your, like, put these guys in the retirement home. Like, I was like, these guys are so fucking old.
That's kind of how I felt the last time we saw Black Sabbath and Ozzy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the way he was shuffling around, and I was just like, and the funny thing is like, if you hear him talk, he still actually can distinguish himself, and like you actually like, oh, okay. All right. He doesn't quite sound the same, but you still know what he's getting across.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's yelling at Sharon on the reality TV show.
Sharon!
Yes. Sharon! Gosh.
Should we do Rex or you had your bits comedy thing? I got some Rex too.
Yeah, I think I just had mentioned the way this played out. I just had sent a little message because we do very loose organization for this. We get a couple guide points to kind of guide our conversations so that way we do kind of keep it on a bit of a track, but also we allow, like, the idea is to capture lightning in the bottle, is to be the conversation, to be just chilling. But I said, I was like, we should do some stand-up recommendations. And it's funny because I mentioned that without, like, I hadn't watched a stand-up special recently.
You didn't have, like,
I was just kind of like, I don't know. We all like to watch stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it'd be good. And then last night, it was end of the night. I was getting ready to go to bed, but I said, I'll stay up and watch. I said, maybe I'll see if there's a stand-up thing to watch. Sure as shit, I pull up Netflix. There's brand new Aziz Ansari bit on Netflix.
It's only like 30 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's only 30 minutes. And so I'll give my kind of 2 cents on that since it was super relevant and recent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but I think it's worth, I'd say it's worth checking out, especially if you're a fan of Aziz. You know, I've seen on Parks and Rec. I've seen all of his stand-up special. I'm not like a diehard. I don't want to say like I'm a diehard Aziz fan.
I've seen him live.
Right. You've seen him live.
Yeah. I paid money to see him. Yeah.
I watched The Master of None and stuff. So I'm a fan, but I can't claim to be like, oh, I love Aziz. You know, I don't have posters in my bedroom or anything, but
yeah.
It was kind of a cool, it was a very intimate show. It was they filmed it at the Comedy Cellar, which is like one of the most iconic comedy stand-up places in the world, if for sure in the United States. And so it was cozy. He shot it and he directed it, so it's got a little bit of his aesthetic. Yeah. It's you know, like I read some reviews because I'm always curious what the world has to say.
Yeah.
You know, when you're touching on this stuff. And I feel like the critiques I read were a little bit knocking him for being he's kind of like his own self-importance about the special and stuff, which I don't know. I just think it's people knocking him because they want to knock him. But like he touched on the vaccine. It was interesting to see because it was one of the first comedy or really live shows that I've seen filmed where you had the full, he's sitting in the audience on the chair, you know, feet away. No one's wearing masks because you had to be vaccinated in order to get in and stuff. And I think that's going to be kind of a bit of it was like, there's a hopefulness of me being like, yay, if this is being put out to the world, it means that the social acceptability of like gathering, not to be irresponsible, but again, at the same point, we gotta be able to live again,
and we need to talk about it
you know, like be responsible, be respectful, do your thing that you need to do to protect other people, that not to do that, but like also gotta live as well. I would say highlights, takeaways, super relevant. It was filmed in December, so it's like a month old, so the topic, it's super super current. He just dunks on Aaron Rodgers a bit does, but
Josh will be watching this tonight.
Yeah. But
I go home and watch that right now.
I will say it's in a way that like is aware of the fact, like I've read a few things, like I've become a more passive Packer fan over the years. And you know, with Rodgers, it's like, yeah, he put his foot in his mouth. I think he did some dumb shit.
Aziz
has his own demons.
He has a Rodgers bit.
He does. He has a couple minutes. He does a couple minutes on Rodgers.
Maybe then can I convince you guys to be Bears fans?
No.
No.
I don't hate myself.
Oh, I hate happiness.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I put my foot in my mouth.
I'm not
going
to stick my head in the oven, you know.
She was like,
he said he was immune resist.
Yeah. He doesn't do too much of the Tom Haverford bit on there, but he acknowledges sort of that he's like, what do you expect? Like take it with a grain of salt. This guy's a football player. You know, he's like, he's not a type of person you should be listening to for health advice.
Yeah.
And he's like
Joe Rogan.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. You shouldn't be, you shouldn't judge that. You shouldn't take that information as truth. He rips on him. He takes his shots, but then he also acknowledges being like, he's not an idiot. And just because he didn't want to do it doesn't mean he's a bad person or that he's dumb or things like that. And he's trying to get people. He's like, rather, you know, he talked about shame videos, which I haven't seen, but like anti-vax shame videos of people like they show a cut together clip of like, screw the vaccine, I'm not going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then later they get COVID and then die, you know? Yeah, and then he's like, who's winning in that? He's like, you think that's, you know, like, you're not the person who's putting that out. Like the shame factor, all it's doing is driving people further and further apart.
It just contributes to more of the divide that's in this country.
And he's like, we don't need more of that.
Which is terrible.
I feel like
it's absolutely terrible.
Right. I feel like because like the news, like there's the social media, the Twitter, the woke, there's the crazy conservative, there's everything.
Right.
I think stand up is the last, like they are saying things honestly
about, and they're pissing people off on both sides.
On both sides. And that's
how you know that someone is doing good stand up because they're willing to like,
they're making points like that
critical thinkers.
Yeah. They're going to make you step outside your box. And that's one of the things he says is sort of like, take a minute to read the stuff that you think is bullshit. Like, read the, like, I don't
read
know.
Both sides of it.
Exactly.
Because this country is based on free speech.
Aren't crazy.
Free speech is like, with Twitter or whatever, it's like, yeah, you can say what you want.
It's free speech, but with their limited...
And also they'll ban you or kick you off if you're saying something
like hateful. Or,
well, that's like why
who defines
some of these comedians. I mean, you look
at Chappelle,
you look at whoever like who has been like getting the backlash, and like, whether or not you agree with what they say or not.
But the thing is, like, it's like the whole cancel culture is like. But Chappelle, like, they're like, you can't. As like, no, I'm still doing tours.
He's still doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah,
like
you. It's just like. And you could not agree with what he's saying, but it doesn't matter. He has, like, normally it's like the media piles on somebody and then they lose money or they get, I think there's
He probably made more money off of that.
Might have been. There's certain people that's like, well,
they. I mean, I think the people that, like, look at his stand-up and
but it's stand-up. They're not.
I think those people may not have seen Chappelle's show, like,
well, and you,
to
and
begin
you,
with.
Like, an example is you shouldn't be canceled for your stand-up unless it's just straight, like, just
hate speech.
Just straight terrible. But, like, you know, in your life, you make terrible decisions and do awful things. I guess, you know, that's where it gets to be dicey. But stand-up is supposed to be...
You're supposed to point out things that... You're supposed to be the anti-culture, like the...
Yeah.
Imagine if Eddie Murphy was out right now, like Eddie Murphy Raw or Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, there's a lot of shit to talk
like
about.
The comedians of like the 80s and Richard Pryor. Imagine
George Carlin.
How fast those guys would have been canceled if things they came out and said back
and
then.
And they also went on to like influence like how we all thought or what we think about comedy or all the people.
Right.
They influenced the new people. Like.
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't be the new comedians today if it wasn't for those guys.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Kind of laid the foundation for that.
Right. And comedy is one of those things where it's like you should be able to voice your opinion because that's exactly
I think they're
what
the only
like
people
that's
that
are from the heart.
That's the form of it.
Yeah, and if it wasn't true to that form, then what is it really?
Mm-hmm. But
why have it then?
But I think with the social media platform, they'll delete your account or if like they have the – it's like you're speaking hate speech or – you're speaking, and it's like, no, they're doing bits, like, but they'll delete it off the. It's like because it doesn't fit to their business
to their agenda, and like, yeah, well, social media agenda is probably the worst.
Well,
as much as it's used for some good, and some things are good, like everything on my social media is like all fishing, but like,
which is good. That's good.
Yeah, and that's why I try to keep it as, but it's.
Sometimes stuff bleeds through.
I think it's one of those things where like
sounds boring, man. I'm not checking in for the fishing.
We'll come hang out.
You got a YouTube video? What's your YouTube?
I don't have a YouTube.
Wow.
Because this is actually my first time behind a microphone and actually like sitting here.
You nervous?
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, whoa. Maybe somebody wants to listen to me sitting in my ice shack drinking beer.
Yeah,
like,
hey.
Maybe
this is a spark.
We have at least 5 to 45 listeners.
Nice.
So
I can capitalize on that.
Prop out your fishing guide. Yeah, shout out.
Shout out to
so anyway, that's
promote
just,
yourself.
Yeah. That was my stand up rack. That was super immediate. I wasn't even expecting it. Is new out is worth checking
it's
out.
It's good. I'm a stand up fiend. Like I watch. I would say check out to all the listeners, all the local. All the loyal nerds. What do we call our fans?
The nerd herd.
Just the nerd herd?
Yeah.
Nerd herds. I would check out Mark Norman out to lunch. He's opened up for Seinfeld. He's getting huge now. But he's quick punch. Like, always, everything's quick joke. He's not inappropriate, but he makes, like, funny... observation guy.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Gillis, he got fired from SNL because he had a bad podcast joke, but he did his special live in Austin. Shane Gillis, it's on YouTube, and he has a YouTube sketch comedy thing called Gilly and Keeves.
He wasn't. Was he one of like the three SNL writers that's been kind of like featured in a lot of their bits this year?
No, he literally got SNL. The second he got it, they dug up an old podcast where he was. They were just talking on a podcast, and he was racist. Like he was stupid. He was dumb.
Yeah,
like he was. And
just yeah.
Yeah, I'm not condoning any of his behavior, sure, but he's also a talent. And he SNL, they fired him, but he's gone on to create his own platform, and he has a platform. He has a comedy special called Shane Gillis Live in Austin, and then he has a YouTube sketch comedy thing called Gillian Keeps Awesome. And then the last, I would say, because I'm a big stand-up guy. I had a list I wrote down. Tom Segura, Ball Hog. It's on Netflix. I saw this live. I couldn't breathe. I literally was laughing. His energy, his speed. He's a storyteller, but he throws these. He just jabs you. Like it's like a good boxer. Mm-hmm. Like he just keeps. Like you can't recover. Yeah. The speed of Ball Hog, like Tom Segura Ball Hog, I would say.
What is that one on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
I think all his stuff's on Netflix.
Yeah, I think he has a deal with Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That one's, I would say that's the top notch. But okay. Shingles is on YouTube, Gillian Keys is on YouTube, and then Mark Norman, Out to Lunch is on YouTube.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Comedy Rex.
I'd say my stand up comedy Rex, I like Dimitri Martin.
Yeah. His humor is. Does he have any recent stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay, but his stuff is really... Yeah.
I just like his delivery and like his dry sense of humor is kind of like where I'm at.
He seems like he walked off the set of a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah. He's totally that guy.
He's got like the mop top and everything.
He grew up with...
I'd say him and like...
Jason Schwartzman or
something. Mitch Hedberg. I really like Mitch Hedberg. And,
God,
may
Mitch.
May he rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Mitch was the goat.
I'd say those two...
There he is using the goat again.
Gaffigan. Gaffigan. Gaffigan has...
Everybody's the goat.
Yep.
That was on our last podcast. No, everything's the goat.
But Mitch is. Mitch Hedberg is.
I mean, I will say Mitch was a fantastic comedian, and he was great because of his simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm not willing to call anyone the goat anymore.
Yeah. Just,
I love goats, too. You know, they're great. The goat... You know what? Goats are the goat.
Yeah.
Goats are funny.
Goats are the greatest.
No, goats are...
I would love to actually own a goat one day.
Go outside.
But I think my one dog wouldn't get along with her.
Yeah.
Usually goats devolves suck. Into me and James fighting at some point on the podcast, too.
Then the last one I'd say would be John Mulaney. I like John Mulaney's stuff, too.
I think he's coming... He's touring in the Minneapolis soon.
He's got a new stand-up out called From Scratch. I don't think it's like been on Netflix or anything like that, but that's like his tour... series called that, but Comeback Kid and then New in Town would be the top two specials from him. And also Donald Glover has one from like 2012 called Weirdo, and that one's pretty good too. That one's on Netflix as well, so
Shout out, just watch Atlanta. It's the best show of all time.
Atlanta rules. It's like it's so good.
When's the next season coming?
This summer.
It's soon. I saw a commercial.
They shot it. It's done. They're just gonna release it.
They're just waiting.
The last season
been,
was
what, like two, like the last two season and a half years so since good. It's been out. Like it's been a while.
The first season was good, but the second season.
Do you guys
was
watch
waiting.
Reservation Dogs?
I've seen a little bit of it.
It's like
I had to prepare myself for where I was going to live since we live on the
road. Similar. It has Atlanta vibes.
It's your recon.
It's. It has some Atlanta, like...
No, it was good. It was super good. Like
it's not
funny.
Atlanta, but it has, like... It's, like, it makes you be like, yeah.
Have you guys watched Snowfall?
I started watching occasion. It, and then I kind of fell off from it.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I started watching, and then kind of fell off.
Yeah.
Does it hold up?
I thought it was pretty good. I did. Four seasons coming out pretty soon.
It's not really a comedy, though.
No, it's not a comedy
at all.
It's
like really not comedic.
It's not really a comedy.
Is that your stand-up recommendation?
Just about, it's about the beginning of the crack era and like how the CIA was involved or CIA was involved in it.
You just want
watch some. Get a stand-up comedy sandwich. Like watch stand-up comedy, watch that, and then go back to stand-up comedy.
I don't. You need a pick me up.
So my comedy suggestion would be watch Letterkenny.
Ooh,
I don't really watch many like stand-up comedy specials. Mm-hmm. Letterkenny rules. I also have Trailer Park Boys. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. Like
classic.
I start like
I couldn't watch it too much. Although it's been a few years.
A buddy of mine gave me a bunch of bootleg
DVDs
of Trailer Park Boys when they were still only broadcast in Canada. And it wasn't broadcast in the US. And I was like, what is this?
What am I watching?
Once I got to Netflix, I had a hard time like transitioning over from like the poorly shot, like dubbed videos into like, whoa, this is in like,
this is what a real camera,
high def, like 4K type. Like, no, I'm not used to seeing these boys like that. Like, so yeah, those would be my kind of comedy suggestions. Okay. Or go back and rewatch Chappelle's Show because shit, I had a year when I was 21 to where we didn't have cable and all we owned was season one of Chappelle's Show on DVD. And we would
got to know that by heart.
Come home with a 30 pack Old Style every day and.
Shout out Old Style.
Chappelle's Show.
Shout out Old Style.
Chicago classic, baby.
I still sell it, baby.
Chicago classic.
Yeah. Wow. We're already an hour and 12 minutes in.
Sorry, that's probably my fault.
No, it's all good.
I think I endlessly talked for like a good half an hour of this session. When
No, you're a great guest to have on the show. Thanks for coming on, Josh.
Well,
appreciate
thanks for having me.
Yeah. Good luck, everybody. Surviving Berkey.
Oh man, we're just going straight for the jugular here.
Oh,
what? Are you wrapping it? Are you wrapping it? He's wrapping it.
I'm tired. Well,
I think I took up all the
tomorrow.
Time of like everything else here.
He's so wrapping it. Quick, James, talk. Diversion.
Counterattack.
We got another 40 minutes.
Do you guys want to teach tomorrow?
No, we got to keep. Get the Malort. Get the Malort.
Oh, no, to keep that.
I was hoping
Chicago,
I didn't
please.
Have to bring
keep
this
keep
out.
Keep that Malort in Chicago.
We ended up spending about ours. Half our last podcast talking about Malort.
Malort and guac beer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I am from Chicago, and Malort is absolutely piss terrible.
Ooh, you know what? I
do
heard.
Do not drink it. If anyone tries to con you into it, do not drink. It.
That's the thing about cheese curds in like Wisconsin.
There might be a Malort returns because I heard today. I'm going to leave it in suspense, but there's another version of Malort out there, and apparently it's actually quite good.
I heard.
I think I'll skip
today.
That podcast.
Dipping out of that one. Yeah, sorry, guys, not tonight.
Sorry, guys, I will not be here for that one.
That's going to be the progression podcast. We start on an empty stomach, and then we finish a whole bottle of Malort over the podcast and see what happens.
I think we did that at Santa Jed. That was basically.
Dear Lord.
Ooh. That one sounds rough.
Yeah. Well, you guys have that to look forward to. Thanks for listening to us. Take care.
Hey, Godspeed.
Oh, I got music recs.
Oh, wow. Last second music recs. Like,
if you didn't already hit.
Code to the friend.
Please let us go. At the well house, temperatures are about 31. House is on fire.
Mailman's here.
37 degrees right now.
Watch Ozark if you haven't.
Listen to Czarface.
Every time you see Dalton, just slap him in the face.
Film it. Film it, though.
Yeah.
And put it on TikTok. We want it to go.
He has a blue-ass Subaru. It's like license plate.
I'm
going
to laugh when they find the wrong person in the Subaru. Just smack anyone with the blue Subaru.
Hey, you drive a blue Subaru. You must be Dalton.
Bam.
Bam. Yeah.
Don't drink and drive unless it's warranted.
Yeah, that's murky. All right.
We do not condone.
We'll end this podcast on a questionable advice.
Yeah. 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 All right.
All right.
Don't you hit that button, you motherfucker.
I'm going to hit the nuclear launch code.
So, honey.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.